This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for May 22nd. It's episode 663, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Morning. Today is Wednesday.
Hey, everyone. Happy hump day.
Happy hump day, baby. Here's to another week. Halfway done. The downhill stretch has finally begun.
Daddy, I want another pony.
They call Wednesday hump day. Innocuous jibber jabber.
Well, good morning, everybody, on this Wednesday morning here on Horses in the Morning. Thank you so much for joining us today. Before we get started with the show, and we got a jam-packed show today, I wanted to ask you, Jamie, two things. One, I know your in-laws live very close to the area that was hit by those storms the other day. Are they okay?
Man, they live, I mean, they're in Norman, so they are right there. And when watching the coverage of all of it, when they pick us up from the airport, we drive right past that theater. It's just shocking how close it was. They are all okay. My father-in-law did have to evacuate his work and was driving home and looked out to the window to the north, and there's the tornado. I mean, he saw it as he was driving. So they were able to make it home safe. They, again, my sister-in-law spent many, many hours in a shelter with 17 people. That was 6x8 shelter. So they were okay. So all family is accounted for, and we're definitely fortunate to all be there together. And they were lucky.
Good. Okay. And we're going to talk more about the tornado and its impact on horses and animals in just a minute. And I have my second question for you. But let's go to Jennifer with what's on today's show so that she can get to work lining people up for the wheel.
On today, Back on Track Wednesday edition, the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia is fully loaded with prizes and ready to spin off a bevy of great goodies, providing the massive callers lining up on the switchboard this very minute have their thinking caps on. And next up, the Velvet Voice of Horse and Country TV, Victoria Spicer, is here to spice up the midsection of the show with headlines galore and personal adventures at her first horse trials. And setting their sights on the final half hour of our 90-minute Wednesday adventure, the Horse.com's Horse Health Report brings us part two of Horse Eyeballs with varying flavors of eyeball goo.
Ugh.
So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
And Dr. LaBelle is back, I see. I like Dr. LaBelle. She's a lot of fun. Hey, Jamie, so now part two of my question for you before we get to our daily winnies. And by the way, if you do want to give us a call and play the Wheel of Trivia, we would love to hear from you, 347-637-3238. Why are you here? You're supposed to be having a baby. Your husband had this all planned at last night. You were going to go into labor. You're going to be in the hospital. You're going to have a baby on Wednesday because it works out best for his work schedule. The baby doesn't agree.
Well, my due date is technically June 5th, which is exactly 2 weeks from today, but I have changed my mind. See, I don't want to have the baby today. I have plans this weekend, so I don't want to have it. So this weekend is a cross-country fundraiser for the Colcamino horse trials, and one of my friends has agreed to take my horse, Edward, up to Colcamino. Actually, I'm taking him up to Flagstaff for the weekend, and she's going to cross-country school him on Saturday and Sunday. And I really want to be there to watch. So I can't have this baby until after this cross-country schooling. See, of course, it always has to do something with the horse, right?
Yes, and I was hoping you were going to say you weren't going to ride. I was like, what?
Oh, yeah. No, there's no part of me that can possibly throw a leg over the back of the horse right now.
Okay, Glad to hear it.
Not an option. I can barely sit still. So, the only comfortable position to me is laying down. So, this show's a lot of work. But I will drive a little car, and hopefully they'll have some golf carts up there that I can zip around through the woods and take some photographs of them, and hopefully I'll have some great pictures. That is, of course, barring Edward acting like a crazed nut job and flipping out being in the woods up in Flagstaff. And, you know, you gotta stick with the positives. My friend is a good rider, so hopefully she'll be able to handle it, but he's super green, so you never know what's going to happen.
All right. Well, you be careful up there, okay? You be careful if you make it till Friday.
It's her. I'm just driving.
If you make it till this weekend. We'll see. I know if your husband has anything to say about it, he's going to be carting you off right after the show today.
He wants it today. He's like, let's get this done today, and then I'll have 4 weeks off as opposed to 2 weeks off, and I won't have to deploy to Canada for a couple weeks after the baby's born, blah, blah, blah. So, yes, let me just wait till Monday. Okay. Just Monday.
All right. All right. Well, we're glad to have you here this morning. Well, I'm going to do my daily whinny quick. Well, my daily whinny goes out to all of the first responders and all those people helping rescue people and helping out the Salvation Army and the Red Cross and everybody that's doing their thing out at in Oklahoma. And also to the various organizations that are helping out the animals out there. And a couple of those are the American Humane Association has this huge 18-wheeler truck that they bring in with veterinarians and emergency supplies and kennels and all kinds of stuff. It's really a cool temporary pet shelter kind of thing. It's really neat. Mars Pet Care USA, makers of Pedigree dog food and Whiskas cat food, is deploying with their rescue rig. They have a big, great big rescue rig as well. Banfield Pet Hospital, of course, they're on all the Pet Smarts. They're supplying veterinary care at the scene. There's also the American Humane Association is ones that are supported by country music stars and philanthropists. That's where they started. Miranda Lambert and Blake Shelton are two that are really big supporters of the American Humane Association. There's a web page, a Facebook page that already has 11,000 fans, but just started 2 days ago. More Oklahoma Tornado Lost and Found Animals, where people are posting pictures of animals they found, or they're posting requests for animals they lost. That has been very active. Let me see what else here. Pet Finder's outreach team is already working, and of course we've had Pet Finder on this show a number of times, and they're contacting animal shelters in affected areas, and then through their Pet Finder Charity Foundation, they are rushing grants to the shelters in need. So not only do they help find the shelters that can take in animals, they also give them the money to help support them. So good for Pet Finder for doing that. And there's more information on their website as well. And that's just to name a few of them, Jamie. There is a lot of organizations out there helping animals. And of course, we're finding out more and more every day about horses that were lost and farms that were affected. So just wanted to give a shout out to all of those groups.
Well, and the stories are coming out specifically about groups and families that have lost a bunch of horses. And, you know, daily whinnies are usually happy things, but you just got to send one out to Plains Bay Eventing. They lost everything. Their entire farm is gone. Pictures of their truck smashed. Their horse trailer obliterated. All 12 of their event horses, you know, it's not a huge group. It's a family and all their horses are gone. Their farm is leveled. Imagine all having all the fencing done and your arenas done and having the barn there and you walk up it and it's just all gone. The Orr family farm lost. They're saying over 100, potentially, Orr family farm in the surrounding areas lost potentially over 100 horses. They do still have 32, I think, that the numbers are. And just so many other farms in that area that lost their horsey families. So it goes out to you guys. And we mentioned Miranda Lambert and Blake Shelton. Of course, Blake Shelton is from Oklahoma, so very important to him. And Miranda Lambert is a huge animal lover. So tying those two together, they actually were on The Voice last night and sang an incredibly moving song dedicated to everybody in Oklahoma, Over You. It's Miranda Lambert's hit song, Over You. And it was just absolutely chilling and haunting and beautiful. And so goes out to those guys too. You know, they're definitely hurting along with everybody in Oklahoma. And just to know that, you know, I have family from right there. You know, I married into this family and they have immediately become my family. And the fact that anybody is hurting in that area just breaks your heart, because they're just salt of the earth, good people out there. I don't even know what to say. Just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, our best and our thoughts and our prayers to everybody who is out there. We knew that when you're talking about that part of Oklahoma, that you're going to end up with a lot of horse people affected, because there are a lot of horses in that part of Oklahoma. You know, Oklahoma is known for rodeos and Western riding, as well as some English, as we're learning here. And that Orr Farm was really a destination spot. It was one of those places that, you know, school field trips went to, and they had the events on the weekends. And I saw one thing they posted yesterday is they were very happy to announce that all of their pony ride ponies that they give pony rides on at these events, all of their little ponies were okay. There was one barn that was left completely alone, as happens with tornadoes for some strange reason. But, yeah, there was one barn that was left completely alone. So, all right. Well, very good. Thank you, Jamie, for that. We are going to get to our Wheel of Trivia right now. And, Jamie, I got to tell you, Jennifer's been working. We had to get equity in the opener, and here it is.
It's time for the EquityMSG.com Wheel of Trivia, where every week unsuspecting horse enthusiasts call the show with illusions of trivia grandmaster dancing in their heads, willing to risk all for their chance to spin the wheel and possibly win some fantastic prize. Or answer incorrectly and have torn away every ounce of equestrian street cred they have like an old bell boot.
I like that, Jennifer. Thank you very much. Well, it is the Equity Wheel of Trivia, and we appreciate you all calling in to play. This is how it works. We're going to ask you a question. If you get the question correct, you are going to hear the bell that is sitting here on my desk. And if you get the question wrong, you are going to hear the high school basketball buzzer that drives Jamie crazy. Did you hear it,
yeah,
Jamie? I wanted to make sure you heard it. Okay, just checking.
Do that again. See what happens.
All right. Let's just...
There's
for
a baby
it.
Coming. I gotta go.
And what else? We have, two categories that we are going to play with today. And the crappy prize on the wheel is a six-pack. And apparently I spelled everything wrong in this. It looks like a really bad ad. It's multicolored horse feet picks. That's
yeah,
what
you actually wrote in here. I don't know what you were drinking this morning, but you wrote multicolored horse feet picks. And I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Well, I wasn't going to say H-O-O-F because that is politically incorrect to say on the show now. So I put horse feet instead of H-O-O-F.
No, I appreciate it.
All right. First up on the list today is Susan from Tennessee. So let's say hello.
Morning, Susan.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing?
Can't complain. And I'm so glad to talk to somebody from Tennessee who says y'all correctly. I mean, you just went on right with it.
I picked it up. I've only been here 9 years.
Oh, well, it don't take long to get y'all in your vernacular.
Yeah, it's quite useful.
It is. It is. Well, look, Susan, you know, usually I like to ask people about their horses and all this. I want to know a special question today. What is the coolest place, or where is the coolest place you've ever ridden a horse?
Well, that's a good question. Probably one time when I was on a business trip to New Jersey and had to spend the weekend, and I got to ride at a riding stable up in the Pine Barrens, and it was nice because they rode English. And a lot of riding stables, you don't get to ride English. So that was quite lovely. I was from the West Coast at the time, and I wasn't really familiar with a lot of the beautiful country on the East Coast. So that was pretty
cool.
But I plan to ride in France when I go over there next year for the WEG.
Oh, cool.
Oh, girl. That's awesome. That'll be great. Yeah, apparently, according to our New Jersey contingent of callers, actually, New Jersey is not all smoke, smog, and mafia. They actually have some beautiful places in New Jersey. It's shocking to know. But, well, that's cool. And you know, most riding stables, you say, don't have English. I just don't go to those.
Right. I mean, who wants to ride one of those big old quirky Western saddles anyway?
I mean, really. Seriously. All right, Susan. Well, let's get this party started here. We have two categories today. One is just we're going to continue on with the random facts to impress your friends. And the second category, which seems to be the title, and it seems to be intimidating to people, but you are a horse expert, I can tell. And the category is, I should have known that. So, random facts or I should have known that.
That's really hard. All right, let's try I should have known that. I'm going to give it I usually pick the expert thing, but let's stretch it out a little bit.
Okay. We'll stretch it out. We'll give you we didn't have that category today. Our producer got lazy and didn't write those questions. So.
All right.
I should have known that. Here is your question. And this is literally one that, yes, if you don't know it, yeah, you should have known. A horse's stifle, remember you have 5 seconds to answer. A horse's stifle is equivalent to what human joint?
I'd say the knee.
Yay, you got it.
Susan.
You were hesitating.
Yes.
You were hesitating. You had it right there, and then you weren't sure.
Yeah, a friend of mine at the barn has a big old thoroughbred that's always getting stifle injections, so yeah.
Okay.
Oh, man. Well, see, obviously the stifle relates to the human knee because of the patella that sits right there. Now, the difference between, and let me just turn into a nerd, the difference between a human knee and the stifle is they have an extra piece of cartilage that slides into place that helps them sleep standing up. So there you go. I know.
I could probably sleep standing up.
Good luck with that. Wouldn't that be nice?
All right, let's spin
all
the wheel.
Right.
All right, here we go. Thanks. Let me get the wheel set up here and ready to go. Can you hear it this week?
I hear it, yep.
Okay. Oh, there went the crappy prize. The multicolor did hoof feet picks. All right. Yeah. Hey, you won a 3.5-pound bucket of horse quencher, which is something that.
Yummy.
Yeah. Which is something that you should need down there in Tennessee. It's a precise and proven blend of all natural grains and flavorings. Horse quencher causes virtually every horse to dive right into the water bucket, even with the pickiest drinkers. Now, with horse quencher, when you lead your horse to water, you really can make them drink. Learn more at horsequencher.com and you get a whole 3.5-pound bucket. That should take you through the summertime down there.
I actually won that last time I called it.
Did you?
Oh, yes, I did.
How about an?
Spin it again.
All right, well,
spin it again.
All right, let's spin it again. Glad you said something. Is there anything you haven't won, Susan?
I've only called it one time, dude.
Okay. Oh. How about an HRN saddle pad? It landed on the Horse Radio Network saddle pad.
Oh, awesome. That's perfect.
Oh, good, good. So, we'll make sure we send you out one of those, and just hold on, and Jennifer will get your address.
Thanks, guys.
Hold on. Thanks, Susan.
Okay.
Congratulations. Wow, we've actually only had Horse Quencher come up twice.
I know, it was her.
In this whole entire game, and it was her. That's hilarious. Well, and she's only called in one other time. I thought she sounded familiar.
All right. Robin is next.
Good morning.
Good morning, Robin. How the heck are you?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Fantastic. Where are you calling from, Robin?
Texas.
Texas. What, are you in North Texas or South Texas?
Central. I'm near Austin.
Near Austin. Okay. See, here's the deal, Robin. I might become your neighbor someday. Let me tell you why.
Okay.
My husband is from Oklahoma, grew up in Oklahoma, and forever has said as soon as he retires from the military, he wants to get an airline job and he wants to move to Oklahoma to be kind of near his family. And he's like, we can go to Tulsa. I can fly up to Tulsa. We can go to Norman. We can go be near my family. Well, after this weekend, I am like, hell to the nizzo. We are never moving to Oklahoma. You can suck it. So my sister-in-law was like, oh, you just go in the shelter. And I'm like, screw that. What shelter my horse is going to go in?
Right.
So I told him there is no chance in hell I'm ever moving to Oklahoma. However, I have family in Dallas and Fort Worth. And I'm like, we'll be 4 hours away from the family, which to me is quite close enough to a mother-in-law. 4 hours, plenty of time to get the house clean by the time she gets there. And so what the heck?
Robin,
neighbors.
Robin, can you please explain to her who was having the massive thunderstorms and tornado threats yesterday?
Not us. Not where
it's
I am.
Not important.
It was in the Dallas area was having it, I know, yesterday.
Yeah. The Dallas area is...
Amy, you're in luck because there's 5 acres up on a hill next to us, and there's no house, but they built a barn, and it's for sale. It's for sale.
Well,
it's just a little more than we can afford right now.
I would love to move to Austin. Austin is the coolest town in Texas. I mean, it is the coolest, followed by Fort Worth. And that's so cool you live there. If you could just have them hold on to that for the next 4.5 years, that would be helpful.
Well, as much as they're asking for, they might still be for sale.
Still be there.
Okay, well, then I can't afford it either.
All right. Let's play this game.
I got to ask you, our question of the day is, what is the coolest place, where is the coolest place you've ever ridden?
Ireland.
Oh.
Oh.
We went there for our honeymoon, and it was a requirement that we had to go riding, and my poor horse husband, the first experience as a horse husband, one of the places that we went was near Connemara. It was in the Connemara area, which is the very green, lush, rolling hills, creeks and trees, and not swampy, just gorgeous. And we did an upgrade because it was our last night, and we stayed at one of like the castles. You can look it up. It's called Adair Manor. And our trail leader was riding an 18-hand jumper that had been body clipped. And I was drooling over her horse the whole time. And then they found out that I had a half Andalusian back home. And they were like, oh, we want your horse. And I'm like, I want your horse.
I'll take both y'all's horses.
Yes.
I just looked up Adair Manor. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's... Yeah.
It was awesome. Yes. It was completely awesome.
Oh, my God, the place is incredible.
I would love to go back just there.
Yes, I'm with you. Well, I'm going to Adair Manor someday when I win the lottery. Speaking of, are you ready to win a prize here on the EquityMFG.com Wheel of Trivia?
Yes.
All right. What
been a while.
what category would you like? Random facts to impress your friends, or I should have known that.
Let's do the I should have known that. And hopefully,
okay.
I will know it.
Gotcha. All right. True or false? You got a 50-50 shot. You have 5 seconds to answer the question. A rapid pulse and rapid shallow respiration can indicate a horse is in pain.
True.
That was an easy one.
You should have known that. And that, she did.
Yeah, that was an easy one. Yes, it was. That was an easy
one. I know it happened to me.
I know. My pulse is rapid all the time right now. So I'm in all the time.
You in pain?
I know exactly how you feel. Exactly.
Seriously?
How you feel. Because I've been there.
Pain? Oh,
too.
Man.
Yeah. And unfortunately, my first one is not in the horses. My second one is.
Was your first one a boy?
I got to ask.
Nope, they're both girls.
Okay.
Oh, lucky. So, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. At least with a boy, you can shave their head and not worry about, that hurts, you're pulling my hair.
Well, so I really think that there's a reason that the good Lord has made these last 3 or 4 weeks so unbelievably uncomfortable. It is for the woman who is not that thrilled about being pregnant in the first part. And now, by the end, you're so bloody uncomfortable that you cannot wait to have this baby. You can't wait to meet him. Oh, my, something transforms hormone-wise. And you're like, I can't wait to hold him just to get him out of my freaking abdomen. I'm just so sick of it.
And on that note, let's spin the wheel.
I'm an angry pregnant woman. Leave me alone.
All right, you missed the... You missed the multicolored hoof picks. This is a new one on the wheel. You win a Tapestry Equine Services Tapestry Neck Strap. These are the people that make the spur suaders. Let me tell you about it. It's a new Tapestry Neck Strap. It's great for beginners, pony clubbers, school horses, amateurs, exercise riders, and anyone working with young horses. It provides a great place to hold on to without catching your horse in the mouth. It's made from high-quality vegetable tanned leather and features an elastic section for an extra give, a D-ring for easy braiding into the mane, and such beautiful details. It's available in black or brown and comes in pony, cob, or horse size. And that's from Tapestry Equine Services. So you'll never, ever get bucked off again is what it comes down to.
Yeah, you will.
Yeah. Well, this will help you a little bit.
So at least help you stay on a little longer. You might hit the full 8 seconds there, Robin.
Yes. I have a few uses that I could get that. So.
Oh, good.
Excellent.
Good.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank
thank you, Robin. Hold on. Jennifer, we'll get your information. Hold on.
Last one, child with it. That's really nice, actually. I just went to spursuader.com and checked them out. Those are really fancy.
They are.
And you can braid it into the horse's mane. That's really cool.
This is a $40 value. And, of course, do we know that the lady who's in charge of this company is an inventor from Canada? And so she developed this because she's been there and done that. For students, like in your case, for students, it's perfect. Because, you know, you don't want them using it as a crutch, but boy, when you need it, you need it. Because not every horse has a really thick mane you can grab onto, like ours.
That's true. Like Jet.
Like ours.
Let's go one more.
Okay.
I think we got to do a quick round. I've talked too much.
Yes, you talk too much. Uta is next on the list today.
Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing swell. How are you?
Oh, we're fantastic. We're fantastic. Thank you for joining us. We got to do the lightning round right now. Random facts to impress your friends, or I should have known that.
I should have known that.
You should have known that. Okay,
two
here
for two
we
so
go.
Far today, Uta. No pressure.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay. This one's hard. Sorry. What is given to a horse that is at risk of a tetanus infection due to an injury, but has never been vaccinated for tetanus?
Oh, my. That is really hard.
This is impossible, Jennifer. Oh.
Isn't it nice that we can blame Jennifer for all of this? Nice.
Yes. Yeah. She's mean. Hit the lizards.
Not a problem I have.
Much like snake is, with a snake bite, you get anti-venom. You get the tetanus antitoxin. So it's a tetanus antitoxin. So keep that in mind, people. It's a lot more expensive to give the antitoxin than it actually is to give just the tetanus vaccine. So vaccinate your horses, people. Vaccinate, spay, neuter, and geld.
Jeez, that list is going to become real long at the end of the show there, Jamie.
I know. I'm going to just go crazy. Well, Lizzie Uta, thank you so much. Real quick, what's the coolest place you've ever ridden?
Oh, Jennifer.
And Steve,
she's back.
What?
Sorry, she's back.
What?
Sorry, we couldn't hear
you. What's the coolest place you've ever ridden? What's the coolest place you've ever ridden?
I've never gone anywhere fancy, but I had a very memorable ride on a very special horse, so.
That's all you need.
That's right.
That's all you need. All right. Well, Uta, thank you for calling, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Next week when I'm on horseback calling in.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
That'll be great. Thanks, Uta.
I think those who call in on horseback get to go to the front of the line.
Yeah, if we can hear the hoofbeats. They have to be on, like, concrete or, you know, macadam or something like that so we can actually hear the hoofbeats. That's the important part.
Hoofbeats, but yes. Can we do one more?
Okay, one more. Quick, lightning round. Super lightning round. Who's up? Barbie?
Barbie's up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I have to be quick? Okay.
You made it, girl. You made it in.
Barbie, you were born quick.
I think Barbie's always on hold. Wait. All right. Coolest place you've ever ridden, real quick.
I live in Jersey. So cool. We don't have to leave.
No, seriously.
I take care of my own. No, it's not a cop out. It's the truth, Glenn. I take care of my own, and I don't get to leave. So I just stay here. Yeah, and it's cool. I'm going to send you some photos on Horse Radio Network. Yeah. No Ireland for me. Sorry, not exciting, but yeah, that's the truth.
Hey, all you need is a good horse and a good weather, and you're there. Doesn't matter.
We're there. We're there.
So, Barbie, random facts to impress your friends, or I should have known this.
I know nothing random. I'm going with
I should have known that. Popular category today. Okay, here we go. You have 5 seconds. What part of your trailer is going to wear out faster than normal or perhaps fail if the trailer is not level when towed? You know, you see people
tires?
Driving on the road.
Oh.
Well, I've lost the total question. I'm sorry. You cut out on me a little bit. Sorry.
You hit the buzzer. Ding, 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 ding.
I'm going to say it's tires.
Is that right? I hit the right one?
Yes, it's right.
Oh.
Yay!
You got it, girl. That is it. The tires are what wears out faster than normal. Always keep your trailer level. It's nicer for the horses, too, because their tires wear out when they travel like that. All right,
spinning the wheel. Spinning. Here we go.
Knew that one.
I need that. I got a baby. I need that thing you got to hold on to. The thing the lady just won. The spurs waiter thing.
It didn't come up with that, though. Are you an iPhone user?
Yeah, I have my iPhone in my pocket because it doesn't work in the barn.
Okay, but you do have an iPhone, right?
Yeah, I usually call on my iPhone, but I have to call from the house phone because it doesn't work in the barn.
Well, the reason I'm asking is what it landed on was an iPhone app. That's what it landed on. Do you use an app called Equisketch Records?
I only use it to make phone calls and pictures. I don't do any apps. But I could do an app.
Well, you're going to now.
I'm just not an app girl.
You're going to now because you can manage, let me tell you why. You're going to manage all aspects of your equine life on the go with Equisketch Records. Enter and record important information about every horse, rider, show, and event with a simple-to-use interface. It has reminders and notifications that are automatically generated for important dates, vaccines. It's really cool. It's in color-coded lists. You have ability ability to add multiple pictures. You can track payments from borders, and it just everything. And it's great for you can even it will even email veterinarians, trainers, and farriers information about your horse. So it's Equisketch Records, and you're going to get it for free. So.
So, thank you.
Actually, you'll be able to use this. You have a couple of horses, so I know that this will come in handy.
Oh, I know, but I have to. It sounds like work, though. I was just a little bit. Yeah.
No, see, this makes it easier. Once you get the information in, and keep doing it. It makes your life easier.
I agree. Right. It's a little bit in the beginning, but actually, okay. And I've learned so much from your show. I just love it. So this is just another wonderful thing. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Barbie. We appreciate it. Take care. Hold on.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
And, of course, the Wheel of Trivia, that we're going to have to end it there. The Wheel of Trivia is brought to you by EquityMFG.com, the makers of the Shaken Fork and the Flexin' Fork. They're the manure forks that all of the hosts here at the Horse Radio Network swear by. We use them every single day. You know, some people ask me, do you actually use the products that you recommend? Jamie, were you using your fork yesterday?
I use my fork every day.
Every day, right, exactly.
My recipe is, and there's we have two, and they're coveted in the neighborhood. So you got to fight for them. You got to get to them quick.
Now, they're a little tiny bit more expensive than the cheapies you buy at the store, but they're going to last you 10 times longer. You're going to love it. You will go out like Jamie did and get another. Because one will not be enough because, as you said, everybody in the barn, everybody in the neighborhood will want to use it, and you're never going to get it. So you might as well just buy two when you order it. Matter of fact, one of our listeners I know bought three when she bought it just for that reason because she knew everybody would be stealing it, so she got a three-pack. And you can find them at...
Well,
yeah? That's a smart idea, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, when I have teenagers come over and they help me clean the pastures, they get a little cheapy, crappy one because I'm like, they're not old enough and they haven't put in enough cleaning time to deserve something that nice.
That's
so they don't get it. They have to use the crappy blue one.
You have I'm to so put mean. In your experience with those crappy ones before you get the Cadillac model.
You don't get to go to Tiffany's and go shopping first off the bat. You have to schlep through Shane Company, you know? I mean, come on.
We need to change the ad to the Cadillac of manure forks. The Cadillac of manure forks.
Yes.
EquityMFG.com. Well, let's take a break for Back on Track, and then we're coming back with Victoria from Horse and Country TV.
Back on Track is a revolutionary line of pain relief products for horses and humans. Utilizing ancient Chinese experience, modern scientific findings, and skilled textile production, we have developed a line of products made of polyester fabric with ceramic powder melted into the threads. This ceramic-infused fabric reflects body heat as infrared waves, a form of energy that has a documented pain-relieving effect. It can reduce inflammation, ease muscle tension, increase blood circulation, and boost the healing process. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your muscles before exercise and work, thereby reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, they can also expedite the recovery from established injuries. Our wide range of products for horses includes blankets, coolers, saddle pads, boots, and wraps. We also offer a number of products for humans, including back and knee braces, gloves, bedding, and clothing. Back on Track is used by the top equestrians in the world, including McLean Ward, Stefan Peters, BZ Madden, Michelle Gibson, Margie Engel, and Debbie McDonald, just to name a few.
We've been using the Back on Track products now for approximately 4 years, starting with the leg wrap and the blankets. We've seen and noticed wonderful results from these products. We've no longer used poultice in our barn. The horses come out with much tighter legs, seem to have many less ailments, and the side effects of using poultice are not noticed, obviously, using the Back on Track wraps. Using the blanket, the horses have far less back trouble, far less irritation, allows us to do less veterinary treatments on the horse's joints, as well as chiropractic work. And we really feel that it's been a huge improvement for us and helps us have some great results.
Stefan Peters is one of the best dressage riders in the United States, having represented the United States.
And, of course, that you can find that at backontrackproducts.com, all of their terrific products. Backontrackproducts.com.
All right, well, it is that time. Let's play it.
Now it's time for the European Report with Horse and Country TV.
And good morning, dear Victoria. You are here. You made it. You must have had a successful weekend at your first horse trial with your horse.
I'm alive, so yes, which was a big relief. So yes, I had a great time. It was really, really good.
Okay, so you were nervous that you might not survive, make it through. You didn't know what your horse was going to do. How did it go? Give us the play-by-play.
Well, he is normally pretty good at dressage. He's never done a bad test in his life, and he's not a huge flashy mover. He's very sweet, and he is obedient, and he does everything at the right place at the right time. But I think he's been eventing three times now, twice with my yard manager, and he knows what's coming up. So put him in a big field with grass arenas and horses cantering around. And he wasn't his usual quiet self. I think he was getting ready to race in the 315 again instead of doing a dressage test. So it wasn't our best test. My yard manager said she thought it was fine. And I just said, no, awful. One of the worst tests we've ever done.
Oh.
What I tried that is it took the pressure off. So we went into shoulder jumping and I didn't ride very well to begin with and had a couple down at the beginning, and then we pulled ourselves together and got around the rest. And then it was down to the cross country. And I kind of imagined 90 centimetres would look quite small, but when I walked the course and you stand right next to it, it's quite big and it's quite solid. there's spreads and things. So off I set cross country, utterly terrified. And it was like riding an old hand. He's still relatively babyish, and he just took me round and jumped everything really sweetly and did the big solid fences that scared me and popped through all the kind of technical questions that we got. And he was an absolute star. I thought we were super fast, and we were well over the time. So I think I need to get my speedometer sorted.
Yeah, sounds like it. Now, for those who don't know, 90 centimeters is almost 3 foot. So it's not like you started a pre-comp for us equivalent of our beginner novice. Like, you started at basically coming close to novice, almost training level. So good for you, girl. That's awesome.
Oh, well, thank you. In British eventing, we start at BE 90, so that is the lowest level you can go in at. And they have introduced the BE 80 level, but there are so few of them in the country that I had to just go in at 90. And it's quite big when you see it. So
yeah, it is.
Finished.
We didn't start having the beginner novice until, you know, several years ago, and they were really hard to find too. Now it's picked up and they're very popular, so it'll catch on and babies will get to go out there and you can run them around without worry. But 3 foot, good job for you. So did you get a ribbon at all or what?
Gosh, no, well out of the placings, especially with my time faults, because he's an ex-flat horse and he's very, very quick. But I wanted him to jump in a nice, quiet rhythm. And at one point, we were coming up to this huge fence, and I just, you know, really took a pull, and the photographer was there. So he's got lots of unflattering pictures of us having a bit of a wrestle to regain control. And I just took him steady and went lots of kind of, not long routes because there weren't any options, but just gave himself time to set up for any combination fences, and it did clock up. So I was so much slower than everybody else on the fastest horse. Makes no sense whatsoever.
You know what? It is amazing how fighting with your horse takes way more time than just letting them go.
It does. So next time, I'm already entered in the next one. I'm blaming my yard manager, Kat Karush, for this. She has given me the eventing bug. There's no vaccination. And I'm already entered in my next one. And I have to just be braver and realize that he's not going to slam the brakes on from 40 miles per hour, and just to trust him to keep going and jumping and not fight with him, because he just took me around. I just sat there and did very little, and he was a star.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations. Yes, there is no vaccine for it. There's no antitoxin, as we were just talking about. You are hooked, and you are in trouble. And yeah, it changes your life for sure.
Afraid so.
So talk to us about what is going on. Apparently, you know, I don't know that Brits are known for having the best food, and especially not having the best food after the big horse meat scandal, but you guys have an article that saying Brits are eating more healthily after the horse meat scandal. Do tell.
Yes, I think it's acted as a real wake-up call, and people have realized that when they're buying these ready meals and convenience foods, that things aren't necessarily what they were expecting them, and it's made people think a lot more about what goes into their food. And and apparently almost 1 in 4 British people have cut down on the amount of processed food. So hopefully that is going to be a lasting legacy, and we're going to have no further contamination with horse meat somehow getting into the food chain. So a kind of a good result from a not very pleasant story.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, anytime you can get people to eat fresh and healthy as opposed to eating that crap that they buy at the Walmart in America, I don't know what your Walmart equivalent is over there, but
it's Asda. They own Asda, and yes, it's exactly the same.
Are you serious? You guys buy Walmart type thing?
Yeah, Walmart own Asda, and apparently they're kind of they chose the right supermarket because I think it's got a similar reputation in America as it does in over here.
God, wouldn't you give like your pinky finger to have invested in Walmart when it was just a small company? They're taking over the world.
Yes, we would have had a string of event horses instead of just my little one.
Yeah, no kidding. Not quite as fancy, but accurate. Yeah, we'd have really fancy and accurate horses.
Yeah.
we'd be buying from William Fox Pitt.
Exactly.
Now, speaking of eventing and William Fox Pitt, apparently British eventers had a good weekend.
Yeah, we had a new venue, which is called Rockingham Castle. And if you check out the article on our website, you can see the castle in the background of one of the pictures. We do have some amazing events in Britain. You know, there's not many places that you get to go and compete in front of stately homes and palaces. And eventers are quite lucky in that front. So they were all back out in force. And some quite new names, actually, which is nice. A lady called Rosalind Cantor, who is very aptly named for an event rider. So she had a couple of big wins. And our old favourite Pippa Funnel was back in action, and she won one of the classes as well.
You know what's amazing is we have a Rockingham horse trials in America as well, and it does not look anything like the Rockingham Castle.
I would complain. I would insist that your Rockingham builds a castle before next year's event.
Yes, it's total crap. It's not fair. Now, by the way, congratulations. I did see that you wrote that article, and it's very well done. So,
thank you.
Well done. Now, tell us about the video of the week.
Well, we've got lots of videos added onto our site, but one that I enjoyed watching is from a blog of a new blogger for us. He's a scurry driver. And I don't know if you guys have scurry driving, but it's so much fun to watch. And you get these two little pocket-sized ponies who have to go around the course at top speed around all these cones. And if they hit the cone with either the pony or the carriage, it knocks a tennis ball off the top of the cone, and that's how you get penalised. So it's added to your time score. So they go so fast, and the ponies are so well trained, and it's really fun to watch. And it's part of a good blog. You can read the funny story about how Chris was in the lorry, and her husband was stuck in traffic driving the lorry, and she decided that since the lorry was stationary, she'd nip through into the back and collect her phone and send some texts or something. And so she starts wriggling through from the cab to the lorry when her husband suddenly saw a gap in the traffic and pulled forward, and she rolled through the lorry and landed on a chair and had broken her ribs. So she takes part in this quite fast, dangerous sport and ends up hurting herself in the back of the lorry.
I'm watching the video. This is insane. These ponies are at a dead gallop. Galloping ponies side by side, and these people are hanging on. I mean, Glenn, I know your experience more with the driving.
Yeah,
but
we do that here. We do that here in the United States. They normally do it, you see it in the wintertime indoors. It's kind of an indoor thing, and they'll do it with four in hands too. And they'll be at a dead gallop like that with four in hands doing that. There's lots of videos on the internet of them turning over doing it too, where everybody gets extricated.
Oh, gosh. luckily, I haven't seen it happening. I don't know whether because scurry ponies are smaller and maybe their center of balance is better, but I haven't seen any tip over. I'm not sure if it has happened and I've just been lucky. But yes, I think maybe having just the pair and having them smaller is a little bit safer.
And it's so cute to watch.
I know, and they always have great names, like these two are called Rough and Tumble, and they always have matching names, Touch and Go, and it's quite fun to watch.
It is fun, and, you know, I've driven ponies that fast, and they're, it's a rush.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Now, the final article is, I haven't read it yet, but it's by Anna Edwards, and it's called One of the Hardest Things to Go Through. What's that about?
So Anna is one of our brightest talents in show jumping, and she trained up a horse at a very top level and won a huge national class here called the Queen's Cup at Hickstead. And she had to sell the horse to Tina Fletcher, who's a top, top rider, to then be able to buy a youngster. So she's been through that heartache already. And, you know, when you've had a horse like that, it can be frustrating to think, am I ever going to get another one? And sure enough, Anna then did get another one called Diaghilev, who was a brilliant, brilliant horse and very talented. And he got her back onto the international show jumping circuit. And the horse was owned not by herself, but by external owners. And she came back from competing and found that he'd been sold, or they'd taken the ride away and given it to someone else. I'm not entirely sure which, but she's basically just lost the horse. And it's a really touching blog about, you know, being a top rider and doing this and then to have achieved something so good and then to have it taken away from you. And she just is starting to reflect on her sport and carrying on, and I think she's turning a corner and she's back out competing again and she's starting to enjoy it. But it's really quite sad and touching to read.
Well, you know, it just goes to show you that those of us who we have our horses in our yards or at the boarding stables that go through bad luck, it happens to the rich and the famous too, you know, and that sounds very frustrating, especially when you get to this level of competing. This photograph of Diaghilev is unbelievable. These jumps, of course, at Hickstead are just massive. So the fact that you can have a partnership with a horse and then the rug get pulled out from underneath you is just heartbreaking. And, you know, it tails all the way down to the kid with the pony that outgrows it. I mean, it's just part of horses, and it's just awful. And it's nice to hear somebody be so honest about it.
Yeah, I thought it was a really touching read, so definitely worth checking it out. And I think, you know, people think of professional riders as they have lots of horses coming through their doors. But when Anna's in her early 20s and she's trying to really make it in the sport. And so it is a huge blow to lose your top horse like that.
Yeah, absolutely is. Well, you can find Victoria and all of these stories on horseandcountry.tv. Congratulations on your weekend. I can't wait to hear about the next one. When is the next one, by the way?
15th of June, so I've got a couple of weeks to get my dressage back to the way it was. I think I'm going to take him pure dressage so that he gets there and realizes he's just doing boring flat work and no jumping involved, and I'm going to try and trick him into believing that's what's happening when he goes eventing next as well.
Ah, good luck with that. They always.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Oh, Victoria, well, thank you for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
My pleasure. Speak to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye, Victoria. You know, one of
the
things...
Next week when she called in, we should put her on the wheel of trivia and see how she does.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Okay, good.
Hey, I did want to say, too, Horse and Country TV, the one thing I really like about, of course, they're a TV network, so their main thing is their programming on TV, but they have all of these articles and blogs they write and stuff. The one thing I like about them is they're short and sweet. They're not 12 pages that I have to read through with my attention span, the length of a gnat. I really like how short and sweet and get to the point, and they're done. I like reading them.
Yes, so basically for those of you that have ADD and you don't want all the details,
that's right.
You can read everything. I like some of the quick, easy reads. Sometimes you're reading their articles, you're like, that's it? Cool. Yeah, it's over. And then otherwise, I'm like, I have questions.
You just have to avoid the questions, read the article, and go on. See, that's just take the ADD attitude there. You'll be ADD very shortly, very shortly. Well, let's take a break for our song today. You know, the song I came up with for today was as a result of an interview I saw with one of the survivors of the tornadoes yesterday. And in the interview, she said, Oklahomans are unstoppable. And it reminded me of a song by Templeton Thompson by that same name. So we're going to play that right after this word from Thin Line Global Products. And we'll be back with the Horse.com Weekly Horse Health Report.
Howdy, everybody. Glenn here. We just finished a terrific series on leg protection that was brought to you by the good folks over at Thin Line Global. If you missed it, go to horsetipdaily.com and check out all four parts. They still have a fantastic coupon for Horse Radio Network listeners for 12% off your next order at thinlineglobal.com. Whether you buy their saddle pads, horse boots, or tack items, everything is 12% off with this coupon code. Just type radio in the coupon section at checkout at thinlineglobal.com.
I'm so happy, so lucky, crank it up loud, yeah, it's good to be me. It's so easy to see why everybody wants to be free. 'Cause I'm moving and moving and dreaming and singing at the top of my lungs. I'm an unfortunate one. Finally found a place in the sun. I'm unstoppable. Trouble, the one they do it is best to make a mess of my day. I hate to rain on his parade. Ain't nothing gonna stand in my way. I'm unstoppable.
Unstoppable by Templeton Thompson. You can find all of her music over at templetonthompson.com. Well, Really Bad Ads is back on Friday. We hope that Jamie is back as well. We'll see. But Really Bad Ads, we have two prizes for you this week. We have the Leather Therapy Laundry Solution and Rinse Gift Set. And what this is for, it's different than the one we had last week. This one is actually to wash synthetic leather, real leather, fabric, and sheepskin items in your washing machine. That's right. Use the solution and the rinse to restore the soft feel of suede or smooth leather fabrics and fleece. And you just put it all in your washing machine. And you can find out more details about that at leathertherapy.com. And then Uncle Jimmy's is back with another. He's donating another gift pack. And I noticed we had one of, let me see who it was. Uta, let me see. Let me see who posted on here. Uta posted a picture. She had won a gift pack from Uncle Jimmy's. And she posted a picture of her horse, Stormy, eating his Uncle Jimmy's treat. So you can find that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning as well. And she also got an Uncle Jimmy's Hanging Balls t-shirt, which I'm sure she's going to wear to work. And, you know, one of his licky things, I guess, is what she got. So you can find all of Uncle Jimmy's products at uncle-jimmys.com. He has a complete line of terrific horse treats that I haven't found a horse yet that doesn't equal Uncle Jimmy's products. So both of those will be given away for this week's Really Bad Ad. Send your entries in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. Just get on Craigslist. It literally takes 5 minutes in the horse and farm section to find really crappy ads and just send them over. Well, next up, we have Michelle from thehorse.com. I'm going to get to Michelle right now. Her guest is not ready yet, but I have to have a word with her. Michelle, how are you?
Yes. I am good. Good morning, Glenn.
So you write to me this week. Now, let me let you know, first of all, that Jamie and I and Jennifer totally appreciate your dedication to the show. You are here every week in and out every week on Wednesday at 10 o'clock with the weekly horse health report from thehorse.com. But you write me a note this week and say I'm on vacation and I'm coming on anyway. You want to get divorced? What's wrong with you?
Dedication. I love it. I like coming and joining you guys every Wednesday. No, it was a last minute family vacation type thing, and I didn't mind doing the show. I have had Dr. LaBelle all set up and ready to go, so I figured, what the heck, I can wake up early here in Washington State and call into the show.
Well, we certainly appreciate that, but you don't have to, you know. You can let us know.
If I were in Hawaii, Glenn, I would not be on the phone right now. But I am in rainy Seattle.
Yeah, it's only Washington, so who cares? That's funny. Is it raining?
Washington State is great. It's yeah, of course it's raining. You have to ask, Glenn.
That's funny.
I have to be gentle. I have to be gentle. This is where I grew up. So.
Well, before
that's why you got out.
That's right. Before we officially
I live in sunny Central Oregon.
Yeah. Before we officially get to doing this, we've been asking a question of all our callers this morning, and that is, where is the coolest place you have ever ridden?
The coolest place I've ever ridden? Oh, easy. I went on a camping trip from the Oregon coast with the horses, and we were in Bandon, Oregon. There's a huge golf course there that I guess is really, really important worldwide, one of the best in the world. I don't golf. I don't care. I rode on the beach, and it was wonderful. It was great.
Amen, sister. Waste a good pasture.
I know. A good irrigation to water a golf course? Come on.
I know. Seriously.
but it was it's amazing. We camped at the state park there. You're kind of in all the trees, and then you go over the dunes, and my horse is a desert horse, and we come over the dunes, and we can hear the crashing and the waves, and he's like, what's up? And we crested it, and the look on his face when he saw that ocean, and like, what the heck, where have you brought me, was pretty cool. And then he got vertigo and almost fell over, so... From watching the waves. Apparently, if you go to the beach, you do not want to let your horse stare directly at the waves because it can get vertigo and fall over. And that's something I didn't know. But now I know. I've had that confirmed that that's kind of a normal thing. They should only have one eye on the water at a time. Both eyes on the water makes them dizzy.
Zigzag, babe. Zigzag. That's what you're supposed to do.
All right, let's...
Mine wasn't just zigzag.
Let's get to the weekly
Maybe
horse.
Maybe Dr. LaBelle can answer that question.
Yeah, let's ask her in just a second. I got to play this first. Make it official.
It's time for the weekly health report from horse.com. Fantastic information and their attempt to ruin Glenn's lunch every week.
That's right. And she tries really, really hard, which is why she even calls in on vacation. This is Michelle Anderson, the digital editor of thehorse.com with the weekly horse health report. And I hear we're doing part two of something we started last week that people can find actually by going to horsesinthemorning.com and listening into last Wednesday's show.
Yes. So last week we talked about eye injuries. We have our ophthalmologist, Dr. Amber LaBelle from Illinois with us. Welcome, Dr. LaBelle.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hey, so, Dr. Yeah, so LaBelle.
Good morning. I'm here to gross Glenn out. Yay!
I know. We're going to be talking about the actual injuries, which is, or not, or the diseases, which I think are, well, the injuries we talked about last week were kind of gross too. So,
hey, I'll be back. I have I have to. I'm hungry. I need to go get something to eat. I'll be right back.
Yes, but I have. So, Dr. LaBelle is a writer too. So, your question, you could pose your question to
her.
Yeah,
where
well.
Is the coolest place you've ever ridden, Dr. LaBelle?
Probably the coolest place I've ever ridden was actually, like Michelle, also on the beach, but in the north coast of California in the Mendocino Woods area. And one of the reasons it was so cool is because I was on my honeymoon. Ooh. And I was with my husband, and it was my husband's very first time sitting on a horse. So it was really special to be in such a beautiful, beautiful area and to get to watch him ride for the first time.
And then he got bucked off, hit a tree, and the honeymoon was over. No?
We were close. He had an asthma attack and was like, why do you like these smelly horses that can't make me breathe anyway? And that was a little bit the end of that. I love the man, but horses are not his thing.
Moral of that story is, why on honeymoons, you only do the things you know are safe. The things that...
I think
that's a rule.
I think you could do a whole show, Glenn, on wives who've taken their husbands on horseback rides during their honeymoons or vacations, because I've heard so many great stories from my friends of them taking their husbands on rides in Hawaii or Mexico.
All right, well,
he
you guys,
was a really, really good sport about it, but needless to say, we don't incorporate riding trips into our vacations anymore.
Yes. So Dr. LaBelle, I want to ask you, do you know anything about horses and the vertigo and them watching the water?
It's a good question. I was listening to you talk about that, and honestly, I can say I've never heard that before. From a vision standpoint, I can't think of any physical or anatomic reason why that might happen. Now, like we've talked about before on a couple of these shows, one of the biggest challenges of my job as a veterinary ophthalmologist is trying to figure out what horses see. You know, they can't mm-hmm. read the eye chart. I don't speak horse. They don't speak English. So our ability to detect what horses really see is very limited to a lot of sort of indirect measures of their vision. Gosh, wouldn't it be nice if we could just ask them what they could see?
Why did you get dizzy looking at the waves? It was funny because a vet at the barn had said, you know, be careful when you guys go to the beach because horses tend to get vertigo if they stare straight at the water. And then we kind of laughed about that, and we're like, oh, that's pretty funny. Dr. Karen said to do that. And then we were so overwhelmed by how beautiful it was, we completely forgot, and then my horse fell over. Anyway, something to investigate.
I will get right
on that. In that. There's got to be a research project in that. But let's start with these eye diseases. What are the most common equine eye diseases that we can come across?
So horses in my practice really get three eye diseases commonly. The first eye disease they get really commonly is a scratch to the surface of their eye. We call that a corneal ulcer. The cornea is like the clear windshield at the front of the eye. And you know horses, they're prey species, and when in doubt, their response to any sort of scary thing is to run away first, ask questions later. So it's pretty easy for them to traumatize that clear surface of their eye. The problem is horses don't live in a sterile bubble, right? We've talked about this before, too. If you put them in a bubble, they just end up eating the bubble and colicking anyway. So since they live in environments that are full of dust, full of hay, full of dirt, it's also full of things like bacteria and fungus. So it's very important that we recognize that those scratches are there because it's entirely possible for infection to set in very rapidly after that kind of trauma to the surface of the eye. And I think, Glenn, you talked a little bit last week about your experience with a horse in your barn that had a really serious eye infection, and that those horses can require treatment around the clock every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours,
for
day and night, mm-hmm. morning and mm-hmm. evening, every two mm-hmm. hours. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, do you know know the reason why that is. I mean, it's not just that all of us ophthalmologists are masochists and we enjoy torturing other people. There's a reason for how
making our bosses mad.
Yes.
Right?
The last time I did it, making our bosses mad, because the last time I did that, I did not work for Horse Magazine, and my boss did not understand why I had to leave work every 2 hours to go put ointment in my horse's eye.
Right. Well, so one of the problems with the surface of the eye, well, I should say, one of the cool and problematic things about treating diseases of the surface of the horse's eye is that the eye is constantly being flushed and irrigated by tears. So in a normal state, your tear glands make tears. Those tears run across the surface of your eye, and they serve a really important function. They bring oxygen, they bring nutrients, and they also remove waste products from the surface of the eye. So tears are really, really important for keeping the surface of the eye healthy. You know that expression, no foot, no horse?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me just tell you, the expression really should be no tears, no horse. That's how important tears are. If you don't have normal, healthy tears, you're not going to be able to have a normal visual eye. The downside to all those normal tears is that they also act to flush away drugs that we put on the surface of the eye. So any medication you put on the surface of the eye is actually completely recycled in 7 minutes. Seven minutes. So it's really hard to maintain proper concentrations of antibiotics or antifungal medications on the surface of the eye. Therefore, it's a lot harder to fight infection on the surface of the eye than it is, let's say, in the liver, where we could just give the horse systemic antibiotics and the bloodstream would bring the antibiotics to the liver constantly, or let's say a skin wound where you could just apply some antibiotic cream and it wouldn't constantly be flushed off by tears. So I promise it's not that your veterinarian just was like, let's torture Glenn today. Let's make him get up every 2 hours. That frequency of medication is often really, really important for making sure that the eye heals properly.
Okay. And my experience with the corneal ulcer was that the injury was really ugly, even as we were treating, to me. And maybe it seems normal to a vet who sees this all the time, but I thought my horse's eye was melting away. Is that normal to have the eye look very cloudy? And I mean, to me, it looked like a blind eye, what I would expect. Is that what these look like as they're healing?
Well, you bring up a good point. So the normal job of the eye is to be clear, be comfortable, and have vision. And anytime you've got an injury to the surface of the eye, you can get some cloudiness that results from that injury. A lot of time that cloudiness is just swelling. We also call that edema. Sometimes you've also got blood vessels that grow into that area. Remember, one of the reasons that you can see through the cornea, but you can't see through your skin, is because there's no blood vessels in your cornea. Like if you look down at your hand right now, the reason that you can't see through your hand down to your bones, which would be super gross and would totally make Glenn have to run and leave the room, is because there's blood vessels and there's pigment. There's all these features of your skin that keep your skin from being see-through. Well, the surface of your eye, your cornea, is completely different. There aren't any blood vessels. There aren't any pigment. And that's part of what keeps your cornea clear, like a windshield, so you can see through it. So anytime you get injury to that structure, you can then get swelling, you can get blood vessels, and that creates that cloudy appearance. And oftentimes, that cloudy appearance is a normal part of the healing process. But it's also an important sign for owners to watch for. Anytime the surface of your horse's eye is looking cloudy when it didn't look cloudy before, that's a reason to have your veterinarian examine your horse.
And so another time that I've seen a super cloudy eye on a horse was a horse that had uveitis, and that it was an Appaloosa. Can you tell us a little bit, uveitis, moon, it's the same as moon blindness, correct?
Moon blindness, yeah. So scratches to the surface of the eye are probably one of the most common diseases I see. Probably the second most common disease that we see is equine recurrent uveitis, otherwise known as moon blindness. And the reason it used to be called moon blindness is they believe that the phases of the moon influence the disease. We know that's not really true anymore, but once upon a time, people believed that. And so moon blindness or equine recurrent uveitis is an autoimmune disease. Autoimmune diseases as a category are the sort of diseases where the immune system is inappropriately attacking a normal tissue in your body. So normally, The job of your immune system is to protect you from infectious invaders, like bacteria and fungus and your annoying neighbor next door. When your immune system isn't just defending you from infectious organisms, and it instead attacks your own body tissue, that's called autoimmune disease. So in equine recurrent uveitis, the immune system actually attacks the normal tissues within the eye and slowly destroys them.
And why is this associated with appaloosas, or is that just something that people think is associated with appaloosas?
No, that really is true. Appaloosas are definitely overrepresented in the equine recurrent uveitis population. So here's the truth. The truth is we don't really know what causes equine recurrent uveitis. We know a lot about once a horse gets a disease, what happens to the eye. And we know a lot more about treating it than we did, let's say, 10 or 15 years ago. But we still, as a veterinary community, as a horse community, don't have a good understanding of why horses get this disease. There does seem to be a genetic basis in some breeds, like Appaloosas, like some Warmbloods. But there are a lot of other factors that likely go into this disease that are just poorly understood at this point. Leptospirosis, which is a bacterial infection, is one cause that has been hypothesized to be causative of equine recurrent uveitis, although the data on that is pretty variable, and I think the jury is still out on that one.
Okay.
So at this point, we don't understand the cause very well, but the good news is we know a lot more about treating it. Equine recurrent uveitis is the number one cause of blindness in horses, but luckily with some of the newer treatments, we're better at keeping these horses visual for much longer than we used to be able to.
Now, is that something that's treated better if it's caught earlier, or doesn't it matter?
Oh, you're so right about that, Glenn. Okay. Absolutely. The earlier you catch the disease, the better. And the reason for that is the eye has a very limited ability to recover from the immune system attacking it. So once the immune system has really destroyed the inside of the eye very late in the disease, there's not a lot your veterinarian can do. But if you catch it soon and catch it early, the chances of being able to preserve the healthy inside of the eye and keep your horse visual is much, much higher.
Okay. Like anything else,
and
almost with horses. Catch it early.
Exactly.
Catch it early.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, just call the vet.
I don't know if this is appropriate for me to say on this show, beat a dead horse, but anytime you think I know, right? That was a little bit important. Anytime you think there's something wrong with your horse's eye, you should call your veterinarian. You should, because the thing is, your horse only gets two eyes. If you break them, you can't replace them, and the eye has a very limited ability to heal itself from major disease inside the eye. So a wound that would be no big deal if it was just on your horse's side can ultimately be devastating to your horse's vision. And that's why eye injuries are always, always, always an emergency.
Hmm. So about a year and a half ago, we talked on the show about my husband's mare having a squamous cell carcinoma in her eye. And she also had had a corneal ulcer, and what it turned out to be is that she had, before we could see the tumor from under the eyelids, it must have been itchy, and then she had scratched her eye and got the corneal ulcer. We treated that, and then we saw this tumor coming out. So what, I brought up these squamous cell carcinomas, are these something that are common eye issues as well?
You know, people are going to think we set this up ahead of time, Michelle, but as it turns out, the third most common eye disease I see in horses is tumors of the eyelid. And the most common tumor of the eyelid is, in fact, squamous cell carcinoma. So squamous cell carcinoma is something we see more on the eyelids and eyes of horses with pink skin around their eyes. So pinks, Appaloosas, really colored dilute horses like Cremellos are more likely to get squamous cell carcinoma around their eyes than horses with black eyelids. However, any type of horse with any coat color can develop a squamous cell carcinoma. We do know that UV light exposure is a big risk factor for developing what is essentially a skin cancer. Mm-hmm. So what that tells you as a horse owner is if you own a paint mare with beautiful bald white face and you live in Scottsdale, Arizona, you need to make sure you're minimizing your horse's exposure to UV light. Number one, move into a dark cave. No. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to put horses in a dark cave. Like, they don't need to live in the barn. You don't need to build them an underground bunker. But you need to be smart about their UV light exposure. So what's the easiest way in the whole world to help minimize horses' UV light exposure? You guys know this one. What do you put on them that helps?
A fly mask.
Yeah, absolutely. A UV blocking fly mask. So that's the number one easiest thing to do. The other thing to think about is, can you change your horse's turnout schedule? Can you have them out in the evening hours or have them out overnight rather than having them out in the middle of the day, in the middle of the desert where they're going to get the most UV light exposure? But even if you're really smart and even if you're really careful and do everything you can to minimize their UV light exposure, some horses are just going to make squamous cell carcinoma anyway. And so the things for you as an owner to be looking for are looking for pink, lumpy, bumpy masses on and around the eye. So anything that looks like a new lump or a new bump and looks like it could be a little mass, sometimes it'll be a little ulcerated on the surface too. So sometimes it'll look like a scratch on the eyelid or a little bloody spot on the eyelid is something that your veterinarian should have a look at.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So I live here in Phoenix, Arizona, and my neighbor two doors down, I was just visiting with her last night, and she was asking me about her horse because she has a gray Arabian who has some tumor issues like underneath his tail, and he started developing a lump. It's so prophetic that you actually are talking about this today. He's developed a lump on his eyelid. His eyelids are black. They are, the skin is not irritated, but there is a definite noticeable lump underneath the skin. And she said to me, you know, I've been a vet tech for many years, and she said, what would you do? Would you take it off or would you have it biopsied? And she's had her vet out, but they're not ophthalmology veterinarians, so they didn't really have a great answer for her. Is this something you would biopsy, or would that make it angrier? Or does it sound like something you leave alone, or you just go ahead and take it out?
You know, Jamie, that is such a good question. So, number one, your question about are there types of tumors that get worse if you biopsy them is such a good question, because there are tumors like that. Sarcoids are a type of skin tumor that horses get more than any other species. And biopsying a sarcoid can actually activate it and make it grow bigger. So anytime you biopsy something that you think might be a sarcoid, it's really important to have a treatment plan in place, because you know that those could potentially get worse in the process of biopsy. So when I was an equine practitioner before I became an ophthalmologist, and now when I see sarcoids around the eye, what I tell owners is, if you're not going to pursue treatment, let's not biopsy this, because biopsying could make it worse. But if you're committed to the horse's treatment and you're committed to eradicating this tumor, then yes, the right first step anytime you see a tumor is usually biopsy. Now, in the particular case you've described here, it's a gray Arabian who also has a mass under the tail. And so that's very suspicious for a different kind of cancer called melanoma. Gray horses get melanoma about 85-90% of the time compared to non-gray horses. We know that the gray coat color is a risk factor for developing melanomas, and Arabians tend to be overrepresented in that because they tend to have a lot of gray coat color. So this is a really opportune time for you to be asking me this question, because I'm actually just in the process of finishing up a research study, an international research study, collecting cases of melanoma in and around horse eyes. And what I've learned so far from this study is that about 85-90% of the horses are gray, about a quarter of them are Arabians, and that the masses on their eyelid don't tend to cause them a problem. So at this point, what we're usually recommending to owners is that eyelid melanomas should be carefully measured, and they should be rechecked every 3 to 6 months. If they're not increasing in size, then it's okay to just watch them and see how they go. If they look like they're getting bigger, then they potentially need some intervention, whether that's surgical removal or freezing or chemotherapy. The treatment a little bit depends on the individual horse and the individual location. The good news is it seems like many horses can have these isolated skin masses on their eyelids for long periods of time and not cause them a problem. One thing for the horse owner to know is that they can also get melanoma inside of their eye. And that was part of the reason we're conducting the study we're conducting now, is because there's not very much information about melanoma inside the eye out there in the literature. And unfortunately, the long-term prognosis for melanoma inside the eye isn't so great, because melanoma inside the eye can grow and unfortunately can lead to blinding diseases like glaucoma. So if you have a gray horse and they have melanoma anywhere else on their body, like at the corner of their lip or under their tail, because those are really common locations, it's important that your veterinarian looks inside their eye, because they may have melanoma inside their eye, not just on their eyelid.
Okay. I have taken intense notes at this last section. So
And if you want to have your friend's veterinarian give me a call, I'm happy to talk with your friend's veterinarian about some more of the nitty-gritty details of what we found in our study and why I'm recommending the things that I'm recommending. But it's,
you know,
I'm actually very proud of the study, because we've got about 60 horses in it, which makes it the largest case series of intraocular melanoma ever published. And it spans three continents and six different countries, I think.
Hmm. Wow. Well, that is, I asked the right person that question, then. My God.
I think we need to let everyone know today was not scripted. I'm on vacation.
Yeah, she's on vacation. She doesn't care. She's phoning it in.
But I have to say, I think this is a good representation of what horse owners come across in their horses' eyes every day. What Dr. LaBelle talked about, those corneal ulcers, the uveitis, and tumors on the eye and eyelids. So, look at your horse's eye, call your vet. Dr. LaBelle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you guys again for having me. Glenn, I feel like I didn't do a good enough job grossing you out today.
Yeah, I'm fine, actually. I can have lunch right after this. I'm good to go.
Yeah, we didn't talk about watching that that squamous cell carcinoma getting cut and then frozen out of my horse's eye.
No, and you didn't talk about, like, things getting shoved into the eye, which is where I draw the line. So I appreciate that, too. Dr. LaBelle, you're always terrific. Thank you for joining us. We really appreciate it. And Michelle, enjoy the rest of your vacation in wet Northwest.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. I'm going to go call my neighbor and give her all this information, or at least tell her to listen to the last, you know, bit of the show here, because it's just so amazing that we were talking about it less than 12 hours ago.
I know. That is amazing. And I love Dr. LaBelle. She's terrific. And she explains things that even I understand at a horse husband. So
she's a teaching instructor or something, because the way she wrote it down, my notes are so organized, because she said it's so organized.
That's awesome. She's used to dealing with students and dummies like me. So,
Well,
we had a ton of news, of which we have no time to get to. So we'll have to save that for Friday, because we got some stories about zombie donkeys in the news again. So, we'll wait until Friday to do that. But in the meantime, don't forget about Really Bad Ads on Friday. It's our most popular segment of the week. And, you can join us then. Just send your entries in to Jennifer@horseradionetwork.com. You can listen to all past episodes of Horses in the Morning at horsesinthemorning.com and all the other shows on the network at horseradionetwork.com. That's it for today, Glenn. Jamie, now, do you know all of the...
Friday.
What's Friday?
Friday is not only zombie donkeys, it's zombie donkeys and murder. That is going...
It started, hasn't it? They're killing things now.
They're taking over the world.
You know, we should do. You know how those guys did that movie in the woods in Maryland, and it cost them like $3,000, and they made $100 million. We could do that with zombie donkeys.
Yeah, good luck with that. there are actually. I'm starting to lend a little credit to your thing. We'll talk about it on Friday.
All right.
But everybody,
I told you I was right.
Have a great hump day. Bang your gal back to me. Call it that with the eye. Listen to that.
Whatever else she can think of. Hey, hang in there, Jamie.
Give your horses. Hey. No, baby.
Good luck to Chad.